Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
And here we are again today, folks. Rush Limbaugh still feeling crummy, but not debilitated. And thanks to the miracle of audio processing, I sound probably much better than I am. It's one of the marvels of modern technology. Well, this technology not even modern. This is audio processing dated back to the 1950s, which is making me sound perfectly normal. At any rate, here we are, ready to go, 3 hours straight ahead, 800-282-2882. If you want to be on the program, the email address, lrushbo@eibnet.us. I may need some help today, folks, because there's some things that are not making sense to me. Why, today, all of a sudden, is the drive-by media overwhelmed with news of the crisis of immigration at the border? The Border Patrol has reported some numbers, and the drive-by media is repeating the news and making the case that there is indeed a crisis at the border. We have more people being detained, and that means they're going to stay in the country, than at any time. We have records being set by the month now. The numbers of illegals, the number of migrants, the numbers of people claiming asylum have reached record proportions. And there the drive-by media is reporting it. Record surge at border, illegal immigration at worst rate in decade, invasion intensifies, busloads will surpass Obama era, 200 cases of mumps in Texas detention centers. And this is all happening while the president is attempting to get support for the declaration of a national emergency to stop this very thing from happening. Now, why would the drive-by media be facilitating that effort on behalf of the president? Well, they're actually not. If you look at the New York Times, it's kind of a dichotomy. The New York Times newspaper today has story after story after story detailing this crisis. And every one of these stories blames Trump for it. Trump wanting to build a wall, Trump wanting to increase prosecutions, is forcing people to come into the country in record numbers before the wall is built or before Trump is able to get his ducks in a row. The New York Times, after littering its pages with all the details of this crisis, has an editorial claiming there isn't a crisis. That the only crisis is Donald Trump. The only crisis is Donald Trump and his policies. Now, something here, something is way out of whack. My crummy physical circumstance is causing me not to see what's clearly in front of me here, because some of this just doesn't add up. And then on the day that we have these news stories, we have Kirstjen Nielsen from Homeland Security up testifying to this and how bad it is with details. I mean, everything in the news media today is making the case for Trump's national emergency declaration. And yet over in the Senate, we got Rand Paul and a bunch of other Republicans saying, ain't no way we're going to do this. We're not going to let a president go outside the Constitution, because what if the Democrats end up in power someday and want to use this declaration of a national emergency to implement the new Green Deal? That is such a bogus comparison. And I'm tiring of a lot of Republican philosophy or strategy. No, we can't do this because what if they get in? They already do this kind of stuff without concern of what we're going to think of it or whether we're going to implicate them by redoing what they have done in previous administration. That doesn't matter to them. They just do what's necessary to advance their agenda. We don't. We try to advance people liking us, or we try to advance people thinking that we're honorable, or we try to advance the idea to make people think that we're not what the drive-by media says we are. And so we always seem to be on the defensive. I'm not including the president in this. I'm talking about the people who don't want to sign on and help, because this clearly is an emergency. This clearly is an invasion. This clearly is something that is, well, we're going to lose our country as founded if something isn't done about this. It cannot continue. Of course, the Democrats see no problem with it whatsoever. Have no problem whatsoever with this continuing, but it's got to be dealt with. Now, let's go to the audio soundbites. I want you to hear the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CPB, the Commissioner Kevin, how do you pronounce this? McAleenan, I guess it is. Kevin McAleenan held a press conference to talk about the crisis at the southern border. Here's just a portion of what he said.
This situation is not sustainable. Remote locations of the United States border are not safe places to cross, and they are not places to seek medical care. The system is well beyond capacity and remains at a breaking point. Based on the experiences of men and women on the front line, this is clearly both a border security and humanitarian crisis.
It is. We can't handle the number of people crossing the border. We can't handle them with medical care. We can't absorb them. We just can't continue with this. Now, this is the kind of news that normally the drive-by media would suppress, but they're not. They're making a huge deal out of it, and I think doing so in order for their audiences to blame it all on Trump. That, in other words, none of this would be happening, or very little of this would be happening, if it weren't for Trump's radicalness. I mean, you can't run around and start talking about building a wall without creating a mad dash to get into the country before it's built. You can't run around and tell everybody that you're going to shut down illegal immigration without causing masses of people to flood the border. This is the take on this. But this is also the kind of news that you would not think they would want prevalently displayed all across their outlets, because it does confirm the crisis that the president is talking about. Now, here's Senator Paul. He was CNN last night with Jake Tapper. Question, you're going to vote to block the president's declaration of a national emergency to get these border funds. How many Republicans do you think are going to join you, and have you heard from the president on this?
The Constitution says only Congress can make a law, and only by law can you take money out of the Treasury and appropriation through an act of Congress. I think there'll be probably 10 Republicans, at least 6 beyond the 4 that are going to vote for it have told me they will. It could be higher than that. What I keep telling them is if we can get to a high enough number, maybe someone could run over to the White House and say, hey, this could be worse. This could be 65. This could be 67. Now, I know that's very optimistic. It might only be 57 to 60, but that's still a lot of dissent and a rebuke that could be avoided if the president would simply rescind the emergency part.
Now, the fact that he says the Constitution says only Congress can make law, and only by law can you take money out of the Treasury and appropriate to an act of Congress. In this circumstance, that may not be true at all. You all know the name Sidney Powell. I have referenced her book, License to Lie, on several occasions, in which she informs and calls out many of the prosecutors on Robert Mueller's team who came from the Enron task force and their prosecutorial misconduct throughout their careers. She has a piece in the Daily Caller. This goes all the way back to October 22nd of 2018, so last year. And it's an opinion piece, but she herself is a lawyer. And her contention here is that the President of the United States has the authority to stop the entry of all aliens into the United States, and he could do it today. He could shut down the border today. Would not even have to declare a so-called national emergency, just could shut it down. And the why and wherefore is found here. Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182F, gives the president the power to, quote, to suspend the entry of all aliens whenever he finds their entry, quote, would be detrimental to the interests of the United States. It is just that simple. existing United States law gives the president the right and the authority to simply suspend the entry of all aliens. And guess what? The Supreme Court affirmed this power of the president in a recent case, Trump versus Hawaii. The court was very clear. The sole prerequisite set forth in Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182F, is that the president find that the entry of the covered aliens would be detrimental to the interests of the U.S. This is the travel ban. The first travel ban, they went and found a judge in Hawaii to issue a stay on the issuance of the travel ban. This is what the left did. This was in the immediate months after Trump was inaugurated. And that case wound its way all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court found that the president had total authority, which everybody knew going in. Everybody knew going in the president had this authority, just like the president has the authority to declare a national emergency. There isn't any question about it. But now we have Supreme Court affirmation of Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182F. The sole prerequisite set forth in this law is that the president find that the entry of the covered aliens would be detrimental to the interests of the United States. Therefore, the president can suspend the entry of all aliens. The plain language of the statute is so clear the president need not even give reasons, even though there are countless reasons to stop all immigration right now. So this is all hepped up here to be distracting to a lot of things with this declaration of a national emergency and the president not able to get unanimous consent among his own party members in the Senate and so forth. But folks, do not be under any illusions that the Republican Party is to this day united behind Donald Trump. Yeah, the Senate is giving Trump his judges. And the Senate is cooperating in some other areas. But the Senate is made up of a lot of never-Trumpers who do not want Trump to succeed no matter what. And when it comes to immigration, you know as well as I do that both parties are totally devoted to the donors that send them money that all want some kind of amnesty or open border circumstance. Now, clouding all of this, since we're talking about media here, is scuttlebutt is that the Mueller report is going to drop either tomorrow or Friday. Now, when the Mueller report drops, everything on the news at that moment ceases to exist. Whatever is being reported at the moment the Mueller report drops vanishes. So all of this news about the crisis at the border, all of this news about North Korea, whatever, all the news about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, all of the news about Ilhan Omar, all the news about the Democrats and their inability to even come out against anti-Semitism vanishes from the face of the earth. And the Mueller report becomes the only story that there is anywhere for at least through the weekend. Well, it won't be. What do you mean there's nothing in it to report? That's precisely why it's going to be the only thing in the news. There will be leaks. There will be analysis. There will be predictions. There will be all kinds of people have inside information. Speaking of which, Andy McCarthy has a piece out at thehill.com predicting, and he's one of the people that thinks the report's going to drop this week. And Andy says that the Mueller report is going to have nothing to do with collusion because there isn't any collusion, that the Mueller report is going to focus almost entirely on obstruction of justice. And if it does that, then it is a pre-impeachment report. If it focuses on obstruction, then, and of course, there isn't any Russian collusion. that Mueller has found there wasn't any Russian collusion except by Hillary Clinton and the Democrats and the people that she hired. So if they focus on obstruction, like firing Comey or calling the Mueller investigation a witch hunt, if that's the kind of thing that this report consists of, and I'm sure it's going to be detailed to make the case Mueller wants it to make. One of the reasons that this rings true to me, go back to old Jerry Nadler. Jerry Nadler, the House, whatever committee he chaired, Judiciary, I guess, and his request for documents from 81 people in the Trump administration about what? Do you recall? What did Nadler say is the focus of his investigation? Obstruction. So we're putting two and two together. So if Nadler is focusing his investigation on obstruction, does Nadler have a heads up on what Mueller's report is going to say? Don't doubt that. Don't doubt that there is going to be a conspiratorial collusion between the anti-Trump forces that exist everywhere in the government, from the Mueller team to the Democrats in Congress, because whether you want to believe it or not, the fervor to get rid of Donald Trump, the fervor to harm Donald Trump forever is at a fevered pitch. It has not subsided. It has not languished. It has peaked. It has continued to grow as Trump has survived every onslaught. Let me take a break here as we're coming up on the programming format demand for that. We'll take it and be right back after this. So don't go away, folks. I just want to reiterate, folks, the President of the United States does not even have to declare a national emergency. He can rely on existing federal law to stop all immigration today on the basis that there is a crisis, that there is an invasion. He can cite any number of reasons for it, but he doesn't even have to do that. The law permits him singularly to decide whether or not there is a crisis or danger at the border. Now, he's got people. He knows he can do this. He's got people in the Senate telling him not to do it.
Oh, no, Mr. President, you don't want to do that. That'd be akin to a nuclear option. You don't want to go that far.
But he could make exemptions to this. He could exempt students. He could have any number of exemptions if he wanted to. But what do you think would be the practical result if the president actually declared, and again, it's Title 8, United States Code Section 1182F, gives the president the power to suspend the entry of all aliens whenever he finds their entry, quote, would be detrimental to the interests of the U.S. Period. Stop. If he did this, what do you think the practical result would be in Mexico, in Latin America, in these countries that are packing up their huddled masses and sending them here? Would they stop? Or would they continue to flood the border? I think they're going to continue to flood the border no matter what Trump does, because I think this is all politics. I don't think that the root of this is people escaping disease and poverty and what have you. Clearly some of that. We are the richest nation in the world, so by comparison, yeah. But there's a do not mistake that there is a political element motivating this and organizing this and enabling this. How are these people getting here? Somebody has to be paying for that. Somebody has to be accompanying them. Somebody has to be providing services along the way. This is not the Trail of Tears. They're not taking the Hoof Express, folks. This is an ongoing political effort that is all part of the worldwide left's attempt to wipe out the United States, to transform the United States into something that it was not founded to be. It is an emergency. It is a crisis. And it is detrimental to the United States, the interests of the United States. We simply cannot deal with this. We cannot accept it. These people cannot be absorbed. They certainly cannot be assimilated. That probably isn't even their objective. Welcome back. Rush Limbaugh to Cutting Edge, Societal Evolution, the EIB Network, 800-282-2882, if you want to be on the program. Let me grab this call quickly. Robin Reno, it's great to have you, sir. What's up?
Great to talk to you, Rush. This is Robin Reno. I've been a listener since 1990-91, around there. And I'm just calling to tell you that the topic that you brought up today just infuriates me and my wife. This was the key issue for which we voted for Trump, basically because we wanted to make sure we put somebody in power who was going to preserve our culture. And I can't for the life of me, given the fact that you brought up this Section 8 power, understand why Trump isn't using it. And so I was curious as to why you thought, given he doesn't have to rely on Congress, anybody to bring this about, why the heck, given this is the key issue we voted for him on, or one of the key issues, why is he not using this power? Why is he not using this power to stop this influx?
Well, before I answer it, let me see if you have any ideas. Why do you think he might not be reluctant to pull the trigger on this?
You know, I really don't know myself, other than to think that, and this is totally, you know, this is an inference here. I don't really know. But when I hear him start wanting to increase numbers of, like, H-B1 visas and H-2Bs in order to, because he's made statements to this effect, to bring in more labor for businesses, part of me, you know, cynically thinks that he's just like a Rubio or just like any of the other 16 we could have elected.
No, let me stop you there, because that's not the case. And I wanted to hear what you thought to kind of take your temperature on it. I'm not going to take your opinion and extrapolate it to millions of other Trump supporters, but I wanted to hear what you thought for a reason. And it's quite telling. You are now willing to entertain the possibility that Trump is a Trojan horse on this, as well as every other Republican who has been. And you're doing this on the basis you hear him talk about H-1B. He's talking, in those circumstances, he's talking about legal immigration, and that's its own separate issue, by the way. And it is also being corrupted by American corporations, all for cheaper labor. But let me set that aside. To answer your question, and the best answer I can give you, and I cannot give you this with ontological certitude, is that the president wants support from the party. He wants Republican support for whatever action he takes. Look, everybody knows that he's going to be impeached. Everybody, and he knows he's going to be impeached. It's in the cards. It's been set up since Mueller was appointed. Trump is going to be impeached. The only question is when. The Mueller report is due to drop this week. That's some of the best thinking out there, tomorrow or Friday. When it does, that will signify the official beginning of impeachment season. Jerry Nadler, I think, has a heads up on it. Nadler's investigation focusing on obstruction of justice at the highest levels of the Trump administration. That's what Mueller's report's ostensibly going to focus on, because it can't focus on collusion since there wasn't any. And so Trump is looking for support from his party. The only way he survives impeachment is if his party stays with him. The Democrats can impeach him all day long in the House, but they have to get a conviction in the Senate. And if Trump loses Republican support in the Senate, if the Republicans decide for whatever reason that they want Trump gone too, well, then he's got to take this into account. So let's assume maybe that Mitch McConnell, the turtle, and others in the Senate are telling Trump not to use this law. That it would be the nuclear option, that there would be no recovering from this. That's way too much. That's not called for right now. So if the Republicans in the Senate are signaling to Trump that they're not going to back him if he does something like this, and they're clearly signaling that, because they aren't going to support him unilaterally on the declaration of a national emergency. So the president has to make a decision in, and by the way, folks, I'm wild guessing here. I should tell you, I've spoken to nobody. I haven't been able to speak to anybody, but I don't speak to anybody normally anyway. But I'm trying to assemble the pieces of this myself. It's why I took the call, because it's a great question, and I'm thinking through the answer as I give the answer to our erudite caller from Reno. I think it all has to do with the future impeachment of the president. Now, let's take the other side of this. When it comes to impeachment, you have nothing to do with it. Trump can satisfy every damn one of you by exercising his constitutional privilege to shut down immigration. He can stop it today. He can use this law that I have cited three times already. He can stop it today. And by the way, everybody agrees that he has the authority. Jimmy Carter suspended the entry of Iranians during the Iran hostage crisis. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton suspended the entry of Iraq refugees for 6 months. Do you remember this? You may, as I remind you of it, there was a suspension for 6 months of all refugees from Iraq because it was feared that some were from Syria and it might be terrorists coming in. Nobody said a word about it because it was Obama doing it. Obama didn't even bother to tell Congress he had done it. He just did it. It was discovered. Nobody said boo because nobody was ever going to oppose the first African-American president. So it's been done. If Trump does it, and you get 100%, he gets 100% support from you. Right on. This is why we elected Trump. And if it works, if it suspends immigration and his approval numbers climb to the 70s, that's not going to matter much when it comes to impeachment. Well, if it climbed to the 70s, they could stop impeachment. But the point is, every one of you who voted for Trump, loving Trump, implementing this law, is not going to change how the Senate looks at him. Now, that's not true either, because it might have an impact. But my point is, as the way Trump is looking at this, unanimous support from you does not give him insurance against impeachment. That exists only in the Senate. And if the Senate has a number of Republicans, Mr. President, I really don't think you ought to be doing this, dude. I mean, this is a nuclear option. Nuclear. You do this and ain't no coming back from it. He doesn't want to be without party support on something like this. By the way, if I were him, I would be so damn frustrated over this, I couldn't see straight. The fact that you can't get a majority of Republicans in your own Senate to support you on something which is so obvious a crisis, which is so obvious a disaster in the making, which is so obvious sabotage of this country. The fact that he can't get party unity behind him on this would irritate me to no end. Now, I could be all wrong about this, and he could implement this law like this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, next, I don't know. I'm just telling you he can do it. It has been done, and there's nobody that can stop him, and the Supreme Court has reaffirmed that he can do it as recently as last year after the travel ban. So, after winding its way through all the lower courts, and let's go back, grab audio soundbite number 11, just to remind you, Barack Hussein O, the first African-American president in the nation's history, June 30th, 5 years ago, 2014, in the White House Rose Garden.
We now have an actual humanitarian crisis on the border that only underscores the need to drop the politics and fix our immigration system once and for all. In recent weeks, we've seen a surge of unaccompanied children arrive at the border, brought here and to other countries by smugglers and traffickers. The journey is unbelievably dangerous for these kids.
5 years ago, Obama admits we had a crisis at the border. Well, if we had a crisis 5 years ago, we have a disaster today. We have an ongoing crisis and a disaster. Now, in Obama's world, the crisis is not the number of people at the border. The crisis is, oh my God, how are we going to help all these people? What are we going to do? How are we going to get them into the country? These are children. That, and he was trying to parlay the fact that there was a crisis into trying to convince people to just drop all this immigration law business and let them in. Because that's what the Washington establishment wants. They want amnesty. They want open borders. They always have wanted that. But it doesn't matter because for our purposes, Obama himself 5 years ago declared that what we have going on the southern border is a crisis. If it was then, it's even worse now. If anybody else has any better ideas as to why Trump is reluctant. And I thought, look, I know he knows of the law. Folks, do not. And I know he knows he can do it. I imagine he's got, and not just Republicans in Senate, I imagine he's got some people on his legal team telling him, I wouldn't do this, Mr. President. It's like this guy, Ty Cobb, his first lawyer in the Mueller case. Ty Cobb comes out yesterday, this is the most honorable man in America. Robert Mueller's an American hero. There's no witch hunt about this. Man, and that's your lead lawyer when the whole thing began. So I imagine there's all kinds of people advising, influencing Trump, don't do this, don't do this, nuclear option. You know, the thing about nuclear is that once you go nuclear, it's that's it. It's nothing. There's no coming back from it, right? That's why they use the word. Anyway, let me take a brief time out. We will continue with much more and already have a call under our belt. That's a major achievement as well, so sit tight, folks. Your guiding light through times of trouble, confusion, murkiness, tumult, sabotage, decay, and even the good times. Rush Limbaugh. The Democrats have come up with a new term for illegal aliens. It's called newcomers. And it comes to us from, excuse me a moment, Nancy Pelosi. Story here is, Facebook, Cybercast News Service. Speaker Pelosi, we should not be suppressing the vote of our newcomers to America. She was speaking at a news conference on voting rights with Representative Lloyd Doggett, in Austin, Texas on Tuesday. She said that immigrants make America more American. How in the... You know, there's so many things these people say. And does anybody believe that voting rights... It's one of these ongoing things. It's like we're still back in the 1800s and so forth. Voting rights. Like, a Democrat's running around claiming we're still suppressing the vote and denying people. But for crying out loud, it's gone the other way. We have people voting that aren't even alive. We have people voting who haven't even been born. We have illegal aliens being given driver's licenses in California. Voting rights? As though we are suppressing the right to vote on behalf? It's crazy. Both parties are going out of their way to register as many voters as possible. And yet Democrats still run around claiming that this country is trying to suppress the vote of minorities. So she's at one of these voting rights news conferences. Immigrants make America more American. We should not be suppressing the vote of our newcomers to America. So when we talk about newcomers, we have to recognize the constant reinvigoration of America that they are, that we all have been, our families, and unless you're blessed to be Native American, which is a blessing in itself that we respect, but that constant reinvigoration of hope, determination, optimism, courage to make the future better for the next generation, those are American traits. And these newcomers make America more American, and we want them. When they come here to be a full part of our system, and that means not suppressing the vote of our newcomers to America. So you see... It's just like people, your neighbors, they moved into the neighborhood. Just a bunch of newcomers, time to get out the welcome wagon. Okay, well, let me ask a question here. She got something right. This reinvigoration of hope, determination, optimism, courage to make the future better for the next generation. Where does that come from? Is that not distinctly part of what I call the unique American culture? And what makes it possible? Not the people arriving. It is the circumstances, the system that has been set up. It's our Constitution and Declaration of Independence that enable that in human beings who are here. It is not that those are values brought with. That's why people come here, is to avail themselves of those human rights and the human dignity that's granted to people who live in this country. What Pelosi is saying is that this country is no different from any other unless these people with these great values are allowed to come in. She's got it exactly backwards. It is why these people want to come here. But the fact that we cannot continue these great traditions without these newcomers is absurd. I'll remind everybody again, we shut down immigration from the 1920s to 1965. And a lot of people, when they hear that for the first time, can't believe it. We did? Yeah, we did. I mean, we still had, even during a total suspension, there were waivers. Certain people were allowed in, maybe 100,000 a year max. But for all intents and purposes, there was a virtual shutdown of immigration. It certainly wasn't in the millions. You know why? It was to allow the time for those who had come in from the late 1800s into the early 1920s, which was millions, to assimilate, to learn the language, to become Americans. It's why they came. Well, that's not happening with this. We're balkanizing. We're multilingual now. There's no... nothing at all in common with today's illegal immigration with the past legal immigration of this country. There's nothing the two have in common. I have to take a time out again. We'll do that and be right back. Don't go away. Try this headline. Thousands of fake government IDs made in covert Oregon lab were sold across the U.S., prosecutors say. There's an ongoing sabotage invasion involving illegal immigration. Anyway, we'll be back here after our top of the hour timeout.